then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, tell me why you hurry so. Hush, you vocal, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bear orders from the captain, get you ready quick and soon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon.
Oh, greetings from the Northwest homeland, comrades. The date is Tuesday, February the 28th. I'm your host, Douglas Morrison, and this is Radio Free Northwest. It is February. It is Black History Month, which is very low on content, very high on emotion. It's also what I've seen referred to in social media lately as Love Month, it being the month that Valentine's Day is in. I hope you all had a very fulfilling and warm Valentine's Day, but if you did not, if you are like some of our comrades out there and find yourself without a significant other to celebrate these kinds of events with, there may be a reason for that. I get a lot of messages from young white nationalists who have a hard time finding a worthwhile mate, finding a partner who's on their level, finding someone that they're compatible with. Which, of course, makes sense. The zeitgeist of the time is abysmal. I wouldn't want to find myself having to date in this day and age and current year. But there are some truths that are timeless. There are some things that will always put you in a position where you'll have better mate selection. And everything will tell you that these methodologies are wrong. Wrong. They're not politically correct. They're not what works now. Because they're gaslighting you into hopefully making you think that hundreds of thousands of years of evolution is trumped by modern day technology. And it isn't, and you can see that everywhere you look. So I thought I would dedicate this month's program to discussing masculinity and femininity to make you a more higher value man. When it comes to dating and that stuff, it's really all about sexual market value. Now, how do you ascertain your market value? Well, you have to understand what the opposite sex is looking for. And you have to filter out the noise, the nonsense that the lying Jewish media will tell you is true. Now, I've been married for a number of years. Happily married, so I know of that which I speak. But I thought it would be more important not to just hear from old Uncle Doug about what I believe is correct and what I know to be true, and hearing me drone on and on for an hour. So I did get some submissions from listeners and from some other areas to really help emphasize the point so that you can see that there's a multitude of voices singing the same song. And what do feminine women want? Well, they want masculine men. Someone who respects traditional gender roles, not because they're, it's just the way things are done, something like that. You know, this unthinking conformity to things is a lot more trouble than the questioning that happens. And I think that's a large part of why we've failed is because we don't have good answers to timeless questions. Timeless questions have gone by and have lost the answers. And so when young people testing the limits of what's acceptable and what's worth bringing forward into their life and what's worth disregarding, they're not finding answers from the traditionalist types such as ourselves, because the things we believe are typically considered common sense. But there is no common sense. There is ideas that were established a long time ago, but those ideas all have answers. They all have reasons. A masculine man, a man, is meant to be masculine. Masculine traits are things like protection, providing, all the things that a woman would need to make babies. And these hundreds of thousands of years of evolution are not outweighed by the modern zeitgeist. They can only be confused by the modern zeitgeist. You have to know why these things work. So instead of just hearing from me about it, we're going to hear from a lot of people about it. And I'll probably jump in and add some additional comments on the back end to flesh some of these ideas out for you. It's good to get a female's perspective on things. And you'll hear a few women today giving their advice, coming from an actual feminine viewpoint. But the truth is, 99% of the time, you don't want to listen to women about what women want, unless you're talking to a woman who is untainted by modern society, who hasn't been spoiled by feminism. And so this is Dr. Dawn Michael.
We have basically destroyed masculinity in our society, and we need to turn that around, because the reality is women do like masculine men. Women who really are attracted to men, they don't want to be dating a woman or married to a woman. They want to be married to a man. And if you're a man acting like a woman, that could be a serious turnoff in the dating realm, or in a relationship, or in a marriage. So it's really important to get your mojo back, guys. I see many times men walking around, looking at their phones, with their head down. I'm sorry, but that's not going to attract a woman. That's just not a good look. Or the man that's walking around with the purse, or with these little cropped pants. These things are not making you look more masculine. They're actually making you look more feminine. If your goal is to attract a woman who you want to have a relationship with or have a good connection with, you want to present yourself in a way that you exude your masculinity. And what is masculine? Let's kind of define what this is. So that would be a man who is confident with himself, confident with his sexuality, who sees himself as somebody that can go out and slay the dragons, that has a purpose, that takes responsibility for his own actions. I see a lot of guys out there that don't take responsibility for their actions. They actually are into this victimhood mentality. That is not masculine. That is not attractive. And that is definitely not going to get you a woman. So if you're doing that, cut that out. Women do not want to hear about how you've been victimized or what you're complaining about. They want to feel safe around you. So from a biological standpoint, many times women may not know this, but they may come to find it later on. They're going to be attracted to men that are going to provide them good offspring. And that's just rooted in biology. And so she's going to want to be with somebody who she feels is going to be confident, who's strong, who takes care of themselves, who's healthy, who can go out there and, like I said, slay dragons, who's purposeful. Those are the type of qualities that women look for in a relationship. And that is really what masculinity is. So how you can show your masculinity, and we're not talking about somebody who's being arrogant, because being arrogant is not masculine. You can have an arrogance about you in a particular topic where you feel like you've studied it and you're a professional at it, but you really need to have the backing with that, and still a touch of arrogance, okay, but that's not what I'm talking about in masculinity. Masculinity is liking yourself. being comfortable in your own body, being comfortable with your sexuality, being comfortable with how you interact with a woman, using eye contact, flirting, being comfortable in the presence of a woman. Some men are very uncomfortable around women, and so it makes them feel shy, or it makes them not even want to go out on a date. Well, you know what? You only get better at it if you push yourself to go out and date. So if you're uncomfortable, get to know women better, study women, understand them. They're really not that scary once you understand that they just want to have a guy who acts like a guy, who they feel safe with. One of the big things that I hear from women is that they don't feel like their guy is taking responsibility for his actions, or that he's doing things that are unsafe, or doing things that make him seem lazy or like a couch potato, or that he doesn't have any purpose. All of these things are a huge turnoff for women. So if you're going to work and coming home and spending your entire time on the computer playing games and smoking pot in your room and hanging out with guys, I'm sorry, that's just not how you're going to meet a woman, and that's not very attractive. So get off up your butt, go for a run, go for a walk, do something that's productive, work on a project. Women also like guys who know how to fix things. This is something that a lot of young men have just lost the idea of: being physical with their hands, fixing a car, learning how to put their own tire on. I know so many men who don't even know how to change a tire, or if there's something that happens in their house that they have to take care of, look to see how to do it. Women like men who can take care of things. And this is no secret. This has been around for a very long time. Again, it's rooted in biology. Men and women are different. When puberty happens, men's brains are flooded with testosterone. It changes the way that they think. It changes their brains. And women have estrogen. And so men and women are different. And that difference is actually a compliment. So it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And so I don't want people to think that they have to be the same. And flirting, we've forgotten how to flirt with each other. There's very wonderful, innocent flirting that can go on. Doesn't mean you have to touch, but it means you could smile, you could say something nice. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, is inappropriate. Learn how to flirt. It's okay to compliment. It's okay to flirt. When you do something, though, do it with confidence. Smiling is also good. You can smile, you can flirt. The way that you stand, be aware of how you are standing. Don't hunch over. Look in the mirror and see how you stand. If you stand with a straight back and you put your shoulders back, there's just an air of confidence that comes out. And believe it or not, you actually feel better. Just try it. Stand up, put your shoulders back, look straight ahead. It kind of helps straighten your body out and give you that strength, and feel that presence, that heaviness that you have when you're just steady. That's a good thing to check in with yourself and see how you look to other people, because oftentimes we forget that as well.
Like I said earlier, modern sensibilities and current day standards can't erase thousands of years of evolution. This song was recorded in 1963 and sold over 1 million copies. That's not that long ago.
I recently had my Twitter account unlocked. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's Radio Free NW. When I got the account unlocked, I saw that there was a big kerfuffle in our circles about some guy by the name of Andrew Tate. I'm sorry, guys, I don't keep up with all of the different stupid personalities that everyone seems to obsess about. But I looked at it because it was going on and on and on, and I didn't want to be completely missing the boat if it was something important. Apparently the guy's some kind of like pickup artist or something along those lines. There's a big overlap between the manosphere and white nationalism. And we get a lot of guys coming from that area. This is men's rights and stuff like that can lead you into thinking about what's going on, what's happening to white men. Black men don't have any problem with women or with men's rights. I mean, they're constantly promoted in all of your media. So it ends up being a white man thing. So we get a lot of overspill from that arena. So I've done a little bit of study on guys. Kurt Doolittle and Stefan Molyneux and some other, you know, kind of big names in the philosophical sphere have kind of weaved into that area as well. It's an important farm to be able to harvest from. I wanted to look at some of these kind of pickup artist type guys and see if any of them had anything really good to say. And the truth is, I found one that I thought was actually rather impressive for a young man. His name is Casey Zander, and I've clipped some of one of his YouTube videos for our next segment here in our Month of Love special.
It is your job, absolutely and fundamentally, to solve your reproductive issue or your reproductive problem. I learned and I discovered this at a very young age, okay? When I was 18 and I realized, like, hey, you know, my body is pretty frail. I'm pretty skinny, right? I don't have a lot of life success for myself. I learned in a quick hurry that I was not one of the guys that would be having options unless I fixed some of these things. And I understood that this was getting harder and harder and harder, and there started to become more dudes like me. More dudes like me who were trapped in their shell. They didn't have a lot of muscle mass. They didn't have a lot of maturity. They didn't have a lot of masculine congruence within themselves. They had no real life skills, so they didn't have any ability to make money. They had no ability to communicate effectively. They were too scared to flirt, too shy to flirt, scared to say the wrong thing. So I learned at a very young age, I was like, okay, if I don't solve this, this is not going to get any easier, because there is certain guys that women like and gravitate towards, and there are certain guys that women do not like and do not gravitate towards, and I 100% am in the category of not liking. So because of that, it's my duty to figure this out. Man to man, heart to heart, I want to talk to each and every single one of you so that way you can attract the type of companion that you've always wanted and self-improve to a level that you personally believe is adequate and fulfilling to you. Who this was actually for is, this is for men who are ambitious. This is for men who truly understand that it is important to build a mission, men who want to find their purpose, and men who want every single insider, one percenter tactic and or cheat code to win in life. Okay, that's who this is for. If you desire that outcome, whether that be financially, with women, with building yourself, you need to stay with me until the very end. But this is going to require some focus. The biggest issue that I see why men can't attract women is they do not understand the fundamental importance of something I like to call masculine competence. What is the number one thing that all women desire? What is a woman's deep fantasy? Well, it is to be led by a strong, masculine, competent man. The issue is that most men don't even know what masculine competence means, but if you go deeper with this, they don't understand the roadmap or the path in order to be a strong, well-rounded, competent, masculine man with true life success for himself. So, let me tell you this first and foremost. I firmly and fundamentally believe that there is massive character traits lacking with men. When I say the massive character traits that are lacking with men, what you will see today, and this is where I have fully tried to go against the grain, against what every other dude does. I try to do the exact opposite. The character traits that you are lacking, or majority of men lack, is things like grit, like the ability to not give up. Okay, another thing that majority of men are running into, a character trait that they're falling into, is sedation. They're seduced and sedated by their pleasures, meaning they don't have life success for themselves. They don't have life results for themselves. They're not able to communicate effectively. They're not able to be the type of man that they want to be. However, they are still partying Friday and Saturday nights. However, they are still smoking stuff they shouldn't be smoking, drinking stuff they shouldn't be drinking. See, most men claim that they want success, but most men don't do anything to get it. Now, I'm trying to motivate you here to get you to really understand just how important success is, because your genes will not carry on unless you solve these issues. The human body wants two things. The first is survival. Okay, it's your job every day to survive. Like, you need water, you need food, you need shelter. But the second is reproduction. If you're not able to solve your reproductive problem and have your genes successfully carry on and your genes successfully replicate and duplicate, not only are you probably headed down the route of being low value, low status, but you have to understand that you are being weeded out of existence. You're ceasing to exist. Meaning, if you're watching endless YouTube videos, playing Minecraft, playing Xbox, you need to literally take that and you need to throw that in the trash can. You need to actually like sit down for a second and look at the character traits that are missing. So there's five specific character traits that I find missing in all modern men today. The first is they do not have any grit. The second is they don't have purpose. The third is they don't have ambition. The fourth is that they are sedated. And the fifth is that they give up far too easy. There is going to be a lot of doom and gloom dudes who tell themselves it's just not possible. You can command the presence of an alpha male no matter how you look or no matter where you're starting from. If you take a look at my before picture and then you take a look at my after picture, did it take a couple years? Yes. Was I in the gym almost every single day? Yes. Did I track almost every single food that went into my mouth in a notebook? Yes. But what happened was the waist got narrow, the abs came in, I was strong, I was viable. Okay, do you think that when a dude goes from that to that and starts to look a different way, do you understand how that will shift your demeanor? Do you now see how that will actually radiate a different type of confidence? Do you see how you're actually going to carry yourself strong because you actually became strong? Like, there's no substitute for building the body. So when I put all of these character traits that were holding me back aside, like being sedated, playing video games, okay, just sitting there spinning my wheels, not doing anything, thinking that the game is rigged, when I stopped being a victim and when I actually took control and I took action, the new women that you meet in your life, they can't tell because they have no idea of your past. Anybody only knows what you put in front of them. What you have to do, not only do you have to understand like all men are competing, but you have to understand that the human body wants two things. If you are not solving your reproductive problem, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You're doing a disservice to your family. You're doing a disservice to everybody who came before you that actually solved their reproductive problem. Because men are built and men are made. So the very first spot is you need to actually understand and master the character traits that it comes to building a solid dude. Okay? That's first and foremost. There is no excuses. Any man can do it. Figure out the character traits that are lacking because you must agree and tell yourself that you have a service to yourself. You have a duty to yourself to solve your reproductive problem. That's number one. What is number two? Well, number two, every single man out there has to look at where their time is going. Where you put your time is so important. You are learning something regardless. So where you put your time matters. It is just as hard to learn how to do something that's mindless as it is to learn how to do something that will pay you dividends for years and years and years to come. If you don't have financial gain for yourself, if you don't have success for yourself, if you are learning how to do things on a day-to-day basis, whether it's change out the avatar that you're playing with on the computer screen or any of this BS you waste your time doing, you need to actually look at where you put your time. You have to understand just how easy this is. No other guy is willing to put in any work. Women want a man with masculine competence. If you're a man and you don't have masculine competence, you don't have resources, you don't have ability to command wealth, you don't know how to create wealth, you don't know how to create value in the marketplace, you're going to be eventually weeded out of existence. Because eventually, she will find a baller who did all that stuff that I'm telling you to do. She will find a stud who put in the work. She will find a dude who is willing to go to the lengths to sacrifice and crush it. And you know what? Even if he wasn't that natural born stud like it, she doesn't know and she doesn't care, because all the chick will know is what you put in front of her. And if what you put in front of her now is a dude who is self-made, who's developed his body, who's developed his speech, who understands his masculine frame, he is going to get the girl and you won't. So why do I still think it's so important to lead all of this with a dating focus is because every single thing a guy does on planet Earth is to level up his market value. I don't think people understand truly just how important it is to get square on this. Like, you got to really look at yourself and you got to say, hey, if I don't have any dating options in my life, why am I unattractive? Because attraction is the fundamental root of if you are commanding value in this world or not. If people are attracted to you, that is a sign of a positive life. If people are not attracted to you, that is a sign of a negative life. So for those of you that are sad every day, or those of you who think you're depressed, what you have to really ask yourself is it that, or am I just low status? Am I sad, or have I just not done anything of value? Look at the character traits that are lacking in your life. Step number two, look at where you put your time. Okay, if you're putting your time into things that don't give you a return, you have to understand an Xbox doesn't just cost you $700, because then you got to sit there and you got to plug it in, you got to learn how to use it, and you got to play the goddamn thing. And then every single day, you're now learning how to play something that's robbing you of your time, robbing you of your energy, robbing you of your charisma, and you're literally wasting your life doing these things. Look at the character traits that are lacking. Look at where most men are putting their time. And then last is you have to tell yourself you are going to learn the things that will pay a reward. But here's what I can tell you. None of this will matter and none of this will hit home unless you tell yourself, A, that it's important to solve your reproductive problem, and B, you're ready and willing to take your dating life seriously. Because if you're not doing that, you're short-selling yourself when it comes to the two things that all humans desire. Survival, day-to-day, you owe it to yourself to survive, and B, reproduction. If you are not successfully able to reproduce, what that is saying is that saying, hey, I have attraction qualities that are of low value or of low status, and it is your duty to truly fix things. Any amount of time being wasted, you have to understand that you are going to compete in the dating market no matter what. And when you do go and compete in the dating market, you're against guys like me. And I don't lose. You're just like any of the people that you look up to. The difference is that they actually did something about their life to go and make it. And the choice is up to you. Where you put your time and the character traits you choose to internalize will dictate your success forever.
Now, Casey's exactly right here. It is your biological imperative. It is your duty to your ancestors to secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. You know, he's saying exactly that without saying it. He may not understand the racial component of it all, and who does at this point, except for us. But his instincts are all in the right place. So he's got a lot of good stuff to say. Now, this next track is from... a little older, it's from 1961, and it's again a woman speaking from a feminine perspective that you no longer get nowadays. This is April Stevens with Teach Me Tiger.
Hi, Tiger. Teach me, Tiger, how to kiss you. Show me, Tiger, how to kiss you. Wah, 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 wah. Take my lips, they belong to you. But teach me first, teach me what to do. Touch me, Tiger, when I'm close to you. Wah, 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 wah. me tiger. I don't know what to do. I know that you could love me too. But show me first, show me what to do. This is the first love that I have ever known. What must I do to make you my very own? Teach me, tiger, how to tease you. Wah, 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 wah. Tiger, tiger, I wanna squeeze you. All of my love I will give to you. But teach me, tiger, or I'll teach you.
All of those things that greater society, quote unquote, tells you is wrong, that's what we're really looking for. In a phrase, toxic masculinity. We want men who take pride in their appearance, are healthy, who are strong. But don't just be strong in your body, boys. Be men and have strong opinions. Know who you are and what you want. Because unless you have those two things down, you're not going to find the right woman. Women are attracted to confidence, but not false bravado. We want you to open our doors. We want you to pick up the check. We want you to tell us that we look beautiful. Even when we don't, we want you to find us beautiful. And don't lie about it, because we'll know. Those jeans do make our ass look fat, and we know it. And if you answer, no, honey, your ass looks great, you're going to lose credibility. So, keep that in mind. And keeping in mind also that what attracts a woman is not necessarily what will keep a woman, and that what attracts a man to a woman is not necessarily what will keep them together either. The initial attraction is really important, but a deeper connection is what will make it last. So when I was newly dating again, my now husband of nearly 20 years was a regular customer where I worked. He was very shy. He was not physically intimidating by any stretch of the imagination. He was not the tallest boy I ever dated. He was not the richest boy I ever dated. What he was confident. And that is sexy. More than that, he knew who he was, he knew what he believed in, and he knew what he wanted. And that's why he won me, as he likes to put it. I was a hot commodity at one point. And all of the other men who worked with my husband, who were also regular customers at my shop, could not believe that he had gotten me to go on a date with him. They were so confused. How does this work? This, like, not super hot dude, not rich dude. How does he get this girl? Well, he was funny. He was sweet. He was self-deprecating. But he was confident. And that, above all, made me feel like he knew who he was. He knew who he thought I was. And that was pretty cool to be selected by that. However, I will say that I was not so enamored with this man that I felt I needed to change myself in any way, shape, or form. And that was a big one, too, because women do that. See, it's not just a question of what attracts a woman. It's what attracts the right woman. Because there's a shit ton of women out there. Most of them are trash. You want to attract a good woman, a really good woman, make yourself a good man first. Anything else is going to look like faggotry. If you put on false bravado, faggotry. Basically, toxic masculinity is what we're looking for, but we want a true man. And that is what is most attractive of all, is that confidence. So, boys, next time you're thinking about going out, finding a woman, think about who you are. Do you know you well enough to get to know someone else well enough? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a hot roll in the sheets, or are you looking for a long-term relationship? Because those two things, while not mutually exclusive, do sort of have different entrance requirements. So my best advice, my very, very best advice to all of the good white young men who are searching for that woman who will make them happy and love them, give them families, is to know who you are. Figure out who you are, where you stand, what you believe. Because that confidence will exude from you. And that is the absolute most attractive thing to a good woman.
A big theme of what we've been playing so far for you is on female selection. What women are looking for in men. And I know a lot of you are decrying this in your minds, but women's mate selection is the ultimate expression of eugenics. Hypergamy is the ultimate expression of eugenics. And so if you consider yourself a National Socialist, as many of our listeners do, you can't moan and groan and cry about eugenic policies. You know, your job is not to make a woman lower her standards so that you're an acceptable mate. Your job is to raise yourself so that most women see you as an acceptable mate. And you really need to understand the difference. Hypergamy is all about, whether the woman knows it or not, providing for offspring, creating the best offspring possible. And so I've gotten this submission from Gretchen the Librarian specifically for this show. Let's go ahead and give it to Gretchen now.
Good evening, comrades. Tonight I'm going to be talking about Alan G. Ropert's Ancient Eugenics. And this is talking about notions and practices of eugenics in ancient Greece. Now, this occurs in three types of sub-philosophies. One of them was the Spartans, and they were very much interested in warriors. And they looked for very concrete and specific traits. Now, because the Spartans knew what they wanted, had a very specific goal, and really looked at traits that were physical, the Spartans were actually the most successful in implementing this. They knew what they wanted, had specific goals, and they were able to achieve those goals. You know, people ridiculed the Spartans as being too rigid and as having a culture that was too concerned with being a warrior. And most famously, the Athenians saw themselves as really the opposite of the Spartans. So that was one of the things that tended to set the Athenians off this idea of eugenics. Plato was interested in notions of eugenics, and he talks about the pairing as much as one could of like with like, because he wanted a certain breeding consistency in his idea of the state, whereas Aristotle took a different view, or at least a different angle, and he talked about the union of opposites to create harmony and balance in potential offspring. But the problem with all of this, of course, is that to a large extent, all of this stuff just remained in theory. And very much the Greeks liked to philosophize, and various philosophies went in and out of fashion. You had the Epicureans who were concerned with comfort. You had the Stoics who were concerned with acceptance of life as it exists. You had Orientalists who talked about kind of detachment that you'll find oftentimes in Eastern religions. So all of that was more a question for the intellectuals than it was necessarily applied. And oftentimes, just as today, you had marriages that went on for convenience and for money. Now, the author of this very brief book, really more of a long essay, also laments the lack of knowledge that was existing at the time of the Greeks, and says that the Greeks didn't really always know the difference between environmental things and eugenics, according to this author. Although it may just be that the Greeks were trying to be thorough and look at education as well as parentage. Now, to segue this story into something about real life and relationships today, you know, it's always been the case, and this essay was written in 1912, so this was a time when people knew a bit more than the ancient Greeks did, and you could talk about eugenics, but in 1912, they didn't know all that much about genetics such as yet at that time. But the problem has always been not so much knowledge, really, but implementation. Because, you know, in the real world, you don't always have the human material that you would like to have in the first place. And then, of course, it's also a question of social engineering. You know, do you have a society that's striving towards better eugenics, or do you have a society that essentially becomes more and more chaotic and dysgenic all the time? The problem is that when dealing with people, you know, you've got these random people that all have their own interests and goals, and it's just very difficult because people have a mind of their own. They aren't always concerned with what's best long-term for society, and they have their own desires, and it's very hard to deal with that, both perhaps within oneself, and then also others. How does the randomness of life become controlled in that respect? And of course, we get back to the human material issue. So in today's world, it's often a trade-off in the choice of a life partner. You may have one individual who is extremely mediocre but decent. You may have another individual with one or two serious flaws, but they have other more outstanding qualities. What do you do in a case like that? Honestly, I would say if there's a choice and if it's a realistic possibility at all, I would say the one with a couple of flaws, because you can correct a couple of flaws more than you can total mediocrity. So that's what I would say there. Now, as far as relationships goes, certainly as one grows older, spirituality in a spouse is a very good thing, because you'll have that comfort in old age. Also, you may be interested in someone who might be less materialistic, in the sense that materialism and striving for wealth can bring stress. And another thing, obviously someone that you can respect is also a good quality for long-term relationships. So those are my thoughts on the issue, and I thank you for listening. Have a good evening, and hail victory, comrades.
I get a lot of you guys complaining about women testing you, presenting you with scenarios where you're forced to react. It's called a shit test, and it's a perfectly natural, necessary function of a woman to shit test you, to make sure that you can assert yourself, to make sure that you have some dominance in you. You're not supposed to be looking for women who won't give you a test. You're supposed to be looking for ways to pass the test. Here's Joni Summers with her own shit test from 1962.
Just to see what you would do. You stood there and hung your head, made me wish that I were dead. Oh, Johnny, get angry, Johnny, get mad. Give me the biggest lecture I ever had. I want a great man, I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care for me. Pretty cut in constantly. When he does, you never speak. Must you always be so meek? Oh, Johnny, get angry, Johnny, get mad. Give me the biggest lecture I ever had. I want a brave man, I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care for me. Someone who she can always look up to. You know I love you, of course. Let me know that you're the boss. Oh, Johnny, get angry, Johnny, get mad. Give me the biggest lecture I ever had. I want a brave man, I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care for me.
That song peaked at number 7 on the Billboard charts of 1963, and I'm pretty sure it is the only song that's ever been in a top 10 with a kazoo solo, so I'm very fond of that track. Anyway, one of our long-term listeners and a very dear friend gave me a written submission for this show's theme. I don't think she wanted to record it per se, so she's asked that I read this out. So I was asked to write an article about what women want, about the kind of man women seek out, whether she knows it or not. But the more I thought about it, the more I decided to break this down into two parts: the type of man a woman wants and the type of woman you should have wanting you. Women are confusing, for most men anyways. We can be complicated and irritating. Surprisingly, even I have been known to be irritating a time or two. But at the end of the day, a woman requires two things: stability and strength. We are often neurotic because I think that women have this constant conflict within themselves between the head and the heart, and the heart wins more than not.
which gives us that sensitive and emotional garbage that you have to wade through. To put it simply, we're unstable. We need grounding, even if some of us are unable to admit it. To us, stability is reliability. It is being grounded enough to be the anchor that keeps us grounded alongside you. Sometimes we need to be told that we're not being logical, and sometimes we need to be told no. Will we be cranky about it? Usually yes, but the long-term side effects of not being that stability will be a loss of respect. And when the respect goes, the shit tests arrive, and it's a race to the end at that point. Above all else, she has to respect you. Respect stands upon the shoulders of stability. There's different ways to show it, but strength is a necessity for her too. We ladies are constantly bombarded with boss bitch propaganda. We're told that we're just the same as men. Deep down, even the most rabid feminist knows this is bullshit. Women gravitate towards strength because it is primal. By strength, I don't necessarily mean being the biggest hard body in the room. I mean a spiritual strength that only white men possess. To stand defiant in the face of wrong. To be the head of his family. To be the protector of his woman. These things are strength, and when done, regardless of his physical stature, she will see them. You guys have one side endlessly telling you that you have to cater to a woman's every whim, that you have to buy her gifts and have the nicest car, you have to obey her every request, no matter how ridiculous. And on the other, you're told that in order to gain a woman's attention, you need to be the biggest prick around. Pretend you could take her or leave her. Act like you can't be bothered to care about how she thinks or feels. Both are bullshit, and both are setting you up to either be a simp or a rape conviction. You need to lead. You need to be the head. But it has to be done with and out of love. You cannot give her or agree with everything she says or wants, but you can bend on some things that make her happy. You cannot constantly disregard her, or she will immediately cling to the first person who comes along and does. Honestly, I think a lot of men know this. A lot of our men are wonderful, which brings me to the second part. More often than not, I think that the problems between the two genders aren't as much the how as they are the who. Not everyone gets the Instagram model. Not everyone gets the super chad. Most of us are average, and you need to be fine with being average. The ideal partner for both sexes has been so unbelievably Jewishly skewed that millions of white men are lonesome and millions of white women are unmeritedly egotistical. I could write another article on the issues with women, but since that's not the topic at hand, let's talk about the fellas for a second. You need to come to terms with average. Now, obviously, I'm not saying to toss attraction out the window because attraction is vital to any pairing. All I'm saying is that maybe that plain girl will make a wonderful mother to your children. Probably that shy gal will be your biggest cheerleader. A woman whose entire self-worth is wrapped up in things like appearance and trends will most likely ruin your life in order to hold on to those things. A friend told me that men need to evaluate investment of their time and capital carefully in today's market, and that the prospect of turning a cam whore into a dutiful housewife is about as likely as teaching your dog advanced calculus. But good girls are out there, and they are probably as full of longing as you are. You just may not notice them right away. When you find her, you'll know because she will value your strength and she will depend on your stability. If you can be those things.
Life for a man isn't easy. We've been spoon-fed this idea that all men are dogs. All men are replaceable. We don't need them. Men are no longer the leaders. Instead, they should take a back seat. Away with all your masculinity, they say. Away with all your aggression and stoicism. What you need to be is more soft, submissive. Reject your natural vigor. Embrace your emotions. It's wild, they say, you know, don't ever look at a woman as just a slab of meat. But at the same time, you sure can pay $20 to see her topless on her OnlyFans. These days we're told, put away your chivalry. A woman is just as capable to open the door for herself. She can pay for her own meal. She can provide, she can do anything a man can do. But the second a drunkard comes by and happens to mess with her, who's she looking to now? If a crazy man comes in with a gun, who's gonna put themselves in the firing lane to protect her? We're told a woman doesn't need a traditional man to take care of her. But the second she's in danger, that old traditional man be looking real good now, right? Look, my brothers, we can no longer look to culture for our standards. We gotta look to tradition, to the ways of old. See, every man is called to lead. He's called to be a king. But not in a tyrannical, abusive manner, but instead in a serving, sacrificial manner. A man should always be willing to lay down his life for their people. He should be willing to do chivalrous acts. There's nothing shameful about embracing your masculinity and leading a family. There's nothing shameful about having a traditional wife who submits to you, who looks to you in complete awe, who looks to you as the man. But with that headship comes great responsibility. You've got to earn your seat on the throne. Many men these days want the authority, but without the duty. They want to rule like a king, but only want the responsibility of a child. And this is because modern times continuously offers us the easy way out. There's a quick fix for everything. If things don't go as planned, that's okay. Just give up. Move on to something new. If your relationship starts to get a little bumpy, if you and your girl aren't getting along, that's okay. Rather than staying devoted and working through the tough times, find something new, fun, and more exciting. Rather than changing your lifestyle and becoming more healthy, just pop that pill that the doctor prescribed. That's way easier. Rather than getting your life together financially, just wait till that next stimulus check. Look, my brothers, all these things the world offers, yeah, it might seem nice now. Yeah, it might make you happy momentarily. But if you choose the easy route, if you choose to immerse yourself into pleasure, entertainment, all the instant gratifications that the world has to offer, life will eventually catch up to you. Every decision you've ever made, good or bad, will ripple through the years. The more you avoid failure, the more of a failure you will become. The more you avoid any kind of discomfort, the more uncomfortable your life will eventually become. This is an all-out war that we are living in. This is a war to take control, to take out the head, to dethrone the king. The snake has slithered his way into our homes. So we've got to stand guard, my brothers. Just like the great kings of old, the mightiest kings were not the tyrants. They were warriors and servants. They led the soldiers to the battlefield. They were on the forefronts. They were willing to die for their people. And that needs to be our mission. You need to choose. Don't embrace the trends of modernism. See, the modern man is weak. He's self-centered. So as a man, the choice is yours. Today, you can either choose to lie, or you can choose to be honest. To have good friends, or to have bad ones. You can choose to watch Netflix, or to read a book. To play video games, or to work out. To watch porn, or you can choose to remain mission-focused. You can continue to build and work on yourself till you find the right woman. The type of woman who you can raise kids with, build an empire with. You can choose pleasure today, or you can choose purpose. See, deep down, every single man, every single one of us, wants to level up. But be very mindful of the make-believe achievements that the world offers you. Don't allow hookup culture to tell you that the more women you have, the more masculine you are. Don't allow prawn to corrupt your mind and tell you what a mighty, powerful king you've become. Don't allow all these video games to tell you you're a winner and you should feel accomplished. Do not allow these pretend fantasy achievements to confuse your mind for real progression. Choose this day whom you will serve. So who will you serve? Will you serve the world? Yourself? Your flesh? For their people. Look, there's no more time to flirt with the enemy. There's no more time to have one foot in and one foot out. It's time to wake up. Come back from the dead. Choose to serve a higher purpose. And remember, my brothers, your choices will set you free. And every day we are faced with hundreds of different choices, some big, some small, but not one of them is insignificant. Each one will either lead you into becoming a stronger man or a weaker one. Now I believe you are stronger than you realize. I believe 110% without a doubt you are called to more. It's time to break free. If you don't want to be like most modern men, you have to ignore most modern advice. Don't fall for the false doctrine that your innate desires as a man are bad. Don't fall for the false lies that you are incapable or not worthy. Remember, it doesn't take any courage to be normal. So embrace your masculinity. Embrace your aggression. Remove the distractions that are keeping you from who you want to be. Do not remain complacent any longer. Complacency is just a playground for the enemy to mess with you, to play with you. The enemy loves complacent men. Because in this state, a man will always remain ineffective. He remains not a threat. So for you watching this, deep down, I know you want to live up to your potential. I know you want to level up. I know this because while everyone else logged off and grabbed their phone to go swipe their life away on TikTok, you're still here. You've invested your attention, and now the scales have fallen from your eyes. So what will you do now? If you want to join a tribe of like-minded individuals and join a team who you know has your best interest at heart, it's time to rise, my brothers. It's time that the enemy has been defeated. And the only way we can win is if we collectively come together as an army and fight back. Fight for tradition. Fight for true masculinity and what it means to serve your family.
All right, well, that's about all the time we have for Radio Free Northwest this month.
Radio Free Northwest is brought to you by the Northwest Front. You can reach the party on our website at northwestfront.info. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to have addressed on air, feel free to drop us an email at radiofreenorthwest@protonmail.com.
We'll talk to you again next month.
And until then, hail victory, comrades.